Gospel. Read verses 40 through 45. A leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, put out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing. Be clean." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every quarter. And this is the word of God for the people of God. And thanks be to God. Well, as we continue in our journey through Mark's gospel, we come to this point with the encounter of Jesus with the leper. I want to look at the leper first and then at Jesus as we come to the scripture tonight. The first thing you can say about the leper is quite obvious. He was aware of his need. I don't know of anything that a person could have in that day that was worse than being a leper. He was ill, and no doctor, no person, no hospital, no one could help to bring healing to his body. He knew from painful reality the hopelessness of his case. Then he somehow heard of Jesus, and faith was born in him. Faith that Jesus could heal him. How he heard, what he heard, we don't know. It doesn't really matter. What is important is a faith was born that had no doubts at all about the power of Jesus to heal him. He had some doubts. His doubts were about the willingness of Jesus to heal him, not about the ability of Jesus to heal him. He said, "Lord, if you are willing." He wasn't sure about the willingness of Christ. "If you are willing, you can cleanse me." He was sure in his own mind that Jesus had the power to bring healing to him if he wished to. So he said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." This was his affirmation of faith. A third thing about this man was that he came to Jesus just like he was. Wasn't really anything else that he could do. In all of his disease and all of his problems, he came and humbly bowed before Jesus and begged for healing. Now, if I were to apply this to our life, I say that these three steps are in some degree essential before we can know the healing of God in our lives. Before we can know salvation, before we can know wholeness. Few people really seek after God until all of their resources, all of their means, all of their abilities have been exhausted in trying to solve their own problems. I think that most of the people out there believe that if they had a little bit more of this, a little bit more of that, then everything would be well with their lives and they would have abundant life and they would be happy. You might ask somebody what it would take to make them happy, and they say, "Well, if I had more money and could get out of this debt, it's just killing me. If I had enough money to pay all my bills and a job to sustain my lifestyle, then I'd be happy." Or you speak to another person and say, "Well, we've got plenty of money, but I just hate the job that I have." And this is the thing I've become aware of. Some people go to work every day and they hate the job they go to. They're making good money, but they don't like what they're doing. It's torturous. And they say, "If I could just have a job that I like." Or another person said, "If I could just have my health restored." Or somebody else, "If I could just have a different spouse." Or "If I could have a new house or a new..." You know, as long as we think there's something out there that can satisfy the deepest longings of our souls and give us life and life abundant, most people don't think about God. But if we come to the point where we reach the end of our means and remember what we heard of Jesus, that we may turn to Him. When faith is born, we turn to Him. But it must always be that we turn to Him just as we are if we want healing, forgiveness, and wholeness. You know, sometimes we try to bargain with God. You know, after all, I'm not as bad as somebody else. And we base our salvation on our self-righteousness. Or we say, I do a lot of good deeds, and we try to earn our salvation by our good deeds. You know, we come to Jesus just as we are, confessing all our sin, as did this leper, and cast ourselves at His feet. And then He will be merciful, and He will abundantly pardon. So let's look at Jesus. When Jesus saw this man, He was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. This shows us the very nature of Jesus. The Pharisees would have been ready to stone the leper to death, for he had broken the law. So leprosy was a very dreaded disease. There was really no cure for it. It rendered a person ceremoniously, religiously unclean, among other things. But they were also banished from the fellowship of their fellow man. A leper had to live outside of the community, outside of the camp, dwell alone, must go with his clothes torn, his head bared, and a covering upon his lips. And he must greet each person that he happened to encounter with a warning of his polluted presence by saying, unclean, unclean, unclean. Stay away from me. Stay away from me, for I'm unclean. Can't imagine anything much worse than that. To be totally cast out from the society in which you might want to live. To approach anyone then, if you were a leper, was to break the law. So this man was a lawbreaker. But Jesus didn't drive him away because he'd broken the law. Instead, he met his need with compassion. And I can't help but ask, are we filled with compassion as Jesus was? How do we treat those that break our laws? Do we try to minister to their need, to bring about a change in the person, to restore them to some usefulness in society, to give them a new gift of life? Or do we just want to get rid of them? Perhaps you saw it as I did this week. It just was hurtful to me. On television first and in the newspaper. For the first time, 1 out of every 100 adults in this country is either in jail or prison. 1 out of every 100 adults in jail or prison. And states all across this country are struggling to build another prison, another jail to incarcerate people. Now, there really hasn't been a new crime wave. We just decided that the way to solve all our problems was not to try to help these people in new life, but just put them away and lock them up and throw the key away. And we don't do a good job at all of trying to bring new life to them while they're in prison, for within 3 years after they get out, 70% of them are back in trouble with the law. But, you know, it's so much easier just to lock them up and forget them than it is to try to minister to them, to have compassion. Jesus had compassion, even upon the man that broke the law. And he stretched out his hand and touched him. He stretched out his hand and touched him. You can't help but wonder how long since anyone had even spoken a kind word to this man. When anyone had left food out for him, when anyone had showed any care and concern at all for him. But Jesus didn't just speak a kind word. He reached out his hand and touched him. No one would do that. They wouldn't do it because they were afraid they might contact the disease that this man had. There are certain illnesses even today that many people are afraid to get around the person that's got that illness, afraid that they'll get it. Don't want to contract. People are afraid of that. But also they wouldn't touch the man for fear of being made ceremonially unclean and wouldn't be able to go to worship. But Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. Can't help but wonder how long it had been since anybody had touched this leper with a hand of love and compassion. You ever think how much touch means to us? To have somebody to reach out and touch you in compassion and love, kindness. I guess it's gotten to be more important to me, realizing the importance of it in these latter years, particularly since I've been here and I've had the funerals of quite a few men. And when I visit the widow in the home afterwards, we would talk and we would pray. And I don't know how many times before I'd leave, this woman would say, I need a hug. I need a hug. I need somebody to touch me. Winnedale, I don't know whether she's ever given me permission to hug other women or not, but I don't think she's ever objected to it. I don't know how many women I've hugged. And they say that's one of the things I miss most about my husband's death, is just having somebody to touch me. And Jesus reached out his hand and touched somebody that was a lawbreaker and unclean, and nobody else would touch. He never let laws that violated God's compassion keep him from being compassionate. Some of his biggest trouble was caused by breaking of the Sabbath laws. You read the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And so many times when Jesus got into trouble with the religious authorities, it was because he healed somebody on the Sabbath day. You weren't supposed to heal anybody on the Sabbath day. That was work. You could do enough to keep it from getting worse, but you couldn't heal them. Jesus healed on the Sabbath and often got into trouble for it. He allowed his disciples to pluck grains of wheat when they were hungry and walking through the field on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees condemned him because they were reaping, they were working on the Sabbath day. And Jesus said, man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. And he never let laws that violated God's compassion keep him from being compassionate. And so I have to ask the question, do you and I reach out to meet human need regardless of customs or taboos or what other people might think or say? Maybe we don't know how to help drug addicts and alcoholics and homeless people. But do we support those ministries that do? I'm so thankful. So far as I know, I never had but two families in the church that I served that had AIDS in their family. Two families lost a son. And I thought of it almost like the sons had leprosy, you know. They didn't want anybody to know. Our son had cancer while one of the families was struggling with their sons dying with AIDS. And the woman said, well, you can tell the church your son's got cancer and ask him to pray for him. He said, I can't tell the church my son got AIDS. Well, she could have, but she was afraid to. Young man, brilliant young man. I visited him in the hospitals, in the home. And he talked about the mistakes he'd made and bad decisions he'd made. And I reached out my hand and touched him. And I helped with his funeral. Jesus saw this man. He was moved compassion. He reached out his hand and touched him. And then he healed. The man said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus said, I'm willing. And he touched him. And he healed him. And the man was whole from that moment. He healed him, proving both his infinite love and his unlimited power. Love alone would cause him to act. No reward could be expected. In fact, the man caused him more trouble by telling all about his healing. Jesus said, "Don't tell anybody about this. Go show yourself to the priest. Make the offering that's required. Don't tell people about this." But the man went and told everybody. So Jesus had to leave the town. People were mobbing him. So, and he went out in the desert places and people followed him there. Love alone caused him to act. And to the one who man avoided, Christ touched. The one that they spurned, he welcomed. The one that they could not and would not aid, he healed. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus. Have you committed your life to him? Are you living for him? Loving as he loved. Reaching out to touch those that nobody else cares about. Reaching out in compassion to bring hope and healing and love and grace. I testify afresh to the power of touch. Before the service tonight, I met Emma outside. And she was a little hesitant to start with, but then she hugged this old man in a way that I hadn't been hugged by a child in a long time. There's power in the touch, in compassion, in love. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your healing touch, for your infinite power that can make us all whole when we come to you as we are and allow you to touch us and truly make us whole. So that we can reach out and touch others and bring your healing love to them. Help us, Lord. Help us to be faithful. And it's your wonderful name that we pray. Amen.